I'm Coach Seb, and this is Running New Mexico. So joining me today is Kristen Johansson. Found some PRs from yours a while back. Saw that you had run 11:13 in the 2 mile in high school, which is pretty quick, I think. You had an outdoor 1500 PR of a 4:52, 3000 meters at a 10:14, 5000 at a 17:09, and a 10K at 36:43. That sound about right?
Yep, that's right. From high school and college. Yep.
Awesome. And then, I couldn't really find anything after college except for the one that, I mean, to me seems kind of the most important, but 2:42:38 marathon time, which qualifies you for the Olympic trials, which to me is just pretty amazing. How cool is that to say, a marathon trial qualifier?
Yeah, it's pretty special for sure.
That's awesome. Do you have any other PRs since college that mean anything to you that you want to talk about or anything? Or
I guess, you know, kind of in my build up to the marathon, to get my trial time, I raced a couple half marathons, and pretty much everyone was a PR. So I kind of used the method of racing every weekend, or not every weekend, every month. So I PR'd pretty much every time I ran going into the marathon. So my best half was a 1:18, kind of in the middle of marathon training. So I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm sure that feels good to know, not only feel like you're feeling good, but then see those marks coming up as you're building up for it.
Exactly.
And so what got you into running in the first place?
That's a good question. I was a swimmer as a kid and swam competitively most of my life, and my parents met at the Boulder, and so they've always been runners, and I always watched them running as a kid, but you know, they never pushed me into it or anything. I just kind of was curious and would watch them, and then decided to try out for middle school track, and I was convinced I'd be a shot putter, which did not pan out.
That's definitely different.
Yeah, and I would do the shot put every day at practice, and then the coach would put me in the mile, so, yeah. that's kind of how it started.
Oh, that's pretty cool, and I had seen that in your bio for the trials in Atlanta. It's actually really cool that they've got everybody with their own like bio and stuff in there. And I had seen how you had put in there that your parents had met at the Boulder. And so I was curious if that had anything to do with it. So that's kind of cool that they were able to let you kind of be your own person without pushing you, you know, which I'm sure the sport that they loved.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they didn't push me at all into it, but once they recognized that I really enjoyed running, it kind of became a family affair.
Well, that's awesome. I'm sure you guys did some local races together and stuff like that.
Yep, it's family tradition to run the Boulder every year and 5Ks and stuff together.
That's really cool. And they're still running now?
Yes, yep. Well, they're still running.
That's really cool. That's awesome. It's cool to have that tradition.
Yeah, and they're my motivation. So
that's awesome. So we talked a little bit before. I'd seen on your bio. So you had gone to University of Minnesota, and then you were in Fudan University in China, which just sounds so interesting in itself. What took you out there to begin with, I guess?
Yeah. So. Ran at the University of Minnesota for 2.5 years, and as you know, the Minnesota winters are pretty brutal.
Yes, so I can imagine.
So to get through those winters, I started cross-country skiing because it was just a way to embrace the winter. And so kind of during that time, I qualified to ski for the U.S. on the FIS Tour de Ski.
Oh, wow.
And so that took me to China. And I had been studying Chinese at the University of Minnesota, so went and skied for the U.S. in China and liked it so much that decided to go back and study there. So.
Wow, that's a really cool story. So you went from swimming to running to some skiing and back to running.
Yeah, exactly. And got to ski and I trained for running with the Chinese national team. I never got to race there, but just some road races, but I did get to train with the national team, which was really, really neat.
Wow. I'm sure you must have run with some amazing athletes out there.
Yeah, probably the famous was, the most famous at the time was Liu Xiang, the hurdler.
Oh, wow.
So he was training in Shanghai. So it was kind of fun to see him train.
That's really cool. Definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you went back to Colorado. What brought you to New Mexico?
Yeah, so lived in Colorado a couple years after college and was working as an engineer there and kind of decided I needed a change. My town had been flooded twice and I was the emergency engineer for the town. And just, you know, I was like, okay, I need a change of scenery. So I got a job with the city of Santa Fe as a water engineer and also the running brought me to Santa Fe, just a great place to train, the altitude, and I was training with the Bolton Endurance sports team, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of, and I had the chance to train with some of the Kenyans who were training in Santa Fe, so that's why I decided to move to Santa Fe, and it was a great move. I'm definitely glad I did that.
Well, that's really awesome. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, I've been around running for the state for so long. I growing up here, running some college here and coaching now. But some of those things like the Bolton group, like just now in my research starting this podcast are groups that I'm just starting to find out about that I never really even knew we had in the state. And there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
When you finished college and everything, it seems like you still had that passion for running, for sure. Did you know that you wanted it to carry you like towards the Olympics? Did you have any specific goal in mind, or you just, I'm enjoying this, so I'm going to just keep on going?
Yeah, I think in the back of my mind, I knew I wanted to aim for the Olympic trials for the marathon, but I wasn't quite ready yet and still needed more miles under my belt, and I felt like I hadn't I still had more to accomplish with the 10K, the half marathon. So I kind of pursued that a little more. And then when the conditions and time was right, I started training for the marathon. And so that was about 3 years ago.
Okay. Wow. So you kind of already had that in the back of your mind that the marathon was eventually going to kind of be your goal.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's cool. One of the things that's interesting, there's especially on the women's side, there's so many women that have qualified for the marathon this year. I think the number is 511 right now, which is just awesome for the sport. Awesome that they're that many people are able to train like that. And there is a ton that are running without sponsorship, like you are. And so how do you manage that running and work life to accomplish this goal, but also, you know, still take care of what you need to do at work?
Yeah, that's been a big challenge ever since college, I think, is just maybe even since high school. It's just finding that balance of kind of getting everything you want to do in. And if you're like me, kind of type A about it, you want to do everything well. So, but there's only so many hours in the day, and I've kind of found a really nice balance working for the city of Santa Fe. I'm able to train in the morning, train after work. A lot of times I'll run to a construction site or to observe, and I'll run with my hard hat and boots in my backpack, or I'll do laps around our water treatment plant if I have something in the lab that's kind of cooking. So, sometimes it's sneaking it in when I can, or sometimes I'll run to the grocery store just to get in some extra miles. But, it's kind of just letting it be, I think, and not being too onerous about it. That's worked for me. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. On your bio, you said you got a nickname from running to the construction sites as well.
Yes, my coworkers call me the Cuore Camino, or the Road Runner, and they some of my coworkers at our water treatment plant made me a shirt with a Road Runner and the Zia sign, so I wear that to all my races.
Well, that's awesome. Sounds like they're really supportive of you and your goals too.
Yes, definitely, and I think it's kind of vice versa. A couple of folks at work decided they wanted to run a 5K, so we went down to Roswell together, and a lot of them did their first 5K.
Oh, wow.
At the Alien Chase, which was really fun. It was something to look forward to, and a lot of mutual admiration there.
Well, that's awesome. So that kind of sounds like you're getting some people into running who may not otherwise have done it on their own.
Yes, exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of them paced me. You know, they'd come out to the Bosque on the weekends and pace me on bike, or I'd be running around town and they'd bring me water in their trucks or whatever on weekends if they were working, and they'd see me on the street, they'd drop off water, cheer. So it's been really so the whole community's been involved for sure.
That's really awesome. That kind of leads me to my next question. You know, you've been in Boulder. That's definitely, it's a running community there. You got to be a part of around the Chinese national team, like you were talking about. You know, how does Santa Fe or New Mexico in general, the running community that you've been around, compare to those other experiences you've had?
Yeah, I think each has been very unique. So, as you said, Boulder's the running mecca, and you have a lot of high profile runners, and a lot of competitive runners. I think Colorado had maybe 69 qualifiers for the trials. I think that was really inspiring and really motivating, but it could be kind of high intensity too. So it had had both ends, and running in China at the time was not popular. So a lot of people were really shocked that I would run, and I would be passing bikes and motorcycles going faster than them. And so that always kind of shocked people. But now there's a huge running craze in China, and I'd love to go back and kind of see what that's become, because I think it's a really positive thing. And then as far as Santa Fe compares to that, I think it's kind of in the middle. You know, it's, I just love the atmosphere of, we all kind of know that we're out in the desert and you don't see a lot of people. So I think there's a mutual respect for that.
Right.
And so when you do connect with other runners in Santa Fe or in New Mexico, you kind of know, like, oh, this person's been out in the desert or out in the mountains, kind of, toughing it out. And I enjoy that part of it.
It is definitely a little, can be a little more isolating here for sure. But I think you're right. I think it is the community is pretty close knit once you're in with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's very supportive too. I joined the Santa Fe Striders group, and just all ages, and it's just a really supportive group. So it doesn't really matter what pace you're running; everyone's kind of there for each other, and there's no pressure at all. It's kind of whatever you want to make of it, and I like that aspect.
That's cool, and it's awesome. I think groups like that, where you have all those abilities for someone, you know, at your caliber to be around too, and kind of especially the younger group that's there, like, I could be that person.
Right.
You know, you said you kind of needed a change and you came down to Santa Fe and got, and it sounds like it's worked out really well. Were you happy that you were able to kind of continue to be someplace with the altitude for the training as well?
Yes, absolutely. I say that I have to live at altitude. It's I just feel more comfortable. If I'm at sea level, I just, no, it doesn't feel right. Unless I'm racing, and then it's a great place to be.
Right, definitely want to be down there for the racing. But
yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Once you kind of started aiming for the marathon and these trials and everything, you know, you got your time at CMI in California. Was that your goal marathon? Was that the one you knew, like, okay, I'm gearing up for this one? Or did you have some other ones before you were looking at? How did that work out?
Yes, well, actually, so my first, my debut marathon was at CIM in 2017.
Okay.
And I missed the qualifying standard, the 2:45, by 8 seconds.
Oh, wow.
I was excited that I was that close, but I was, that's so close.
Right.
You know, a bull ride or something. It's, you know, it's just, you think of all the things that you could have done differently to shave off 8 seconds. So I decided to go to Houston a month later and just while I was fit and try to accomplish that. And it didn't pan out. I had a hamstring tightness that kind of stopped me around 20 miles from my pace. But then I took a year off and did some studying for my engineering exams and came back at the beginning of 2019 and ran Boston.
Oh, wow.
I did a ski marathon to prepare for Boston. And then I did Boston kind of just as a, you know, trying to just not anticipating to qualify there, but
right.
Just to get the experience and
right. See where you were at after a year off.
Yeah, exactly. And went pretty well until 20 miles, but I still kind of had that hamstring thing going on. So I took a couple months off after that, didn't start running until about August of 2019. And then, and I did a ton of work on my hamstrings and strengthening.
Right.
And so then I kind of knew CIM was, that was the race I was aiming for.
Okay. Wow. Before I go forward, I got to go back for a second. What is a ski marathon?
Yeah. So, cross country ski marathon. It's, anywhere from, 50 to 60 typically kilometers, but it can be as far as 100 kilometers, and
wow.
It's called a LOPA. And, so I've skied in those all over the world, and it's called the World LOPA Series. So I have a passport of all the different ski races around the world that I'm trying to check off.
Wow, that's really cool.
And this one was in Canada, in Quebec.
Wow. Well, I mean, that'll definitely keep you fit for sure. I've never done cross country skiing, but it just looks intense.
It is. It builds, well, I always say, it like builds a huge engine. So
right.
It kind of makes, you know, maybe not as much speed, but it gives you a huge aerobic capacity. And you don't get the pounding. So it's a great cross training sport.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's something that gets overlooked sometimes is that cross training and doing things to kind of save your legs in other ways. And you know, this cross country skiing sounds like a great way to do that. And like you said, keep up that aerobic base. Looking through at a bunch of different runners, it seems like there was a lot of runners who were kind of gearing up for the CMI. And that was their race to qualify, especially kind of the later ones. What was that environment like this year there?
Oh, it was incredible. They had pacers with they were wearing t-shirts, and they picked pacers who were tall, so you could see the pacers. And before the race, there's a room full of people, and the guys put on t-shirts with all the splits that you had to hit to make the Olympic trial time.
Oh, wow.
And so that's what they wore during the race. And there's just this atmosphere of runners supporting runners. You know, it wasn't about very few people were in it for place. You know, maybe the top five, top
right.
10, but everyone else was just in it to get a time. And I think that created a huge sense of community. And anytime another runner was next to you, you'd kind of support them, offer water if you had it, but, you know, just kind of offer words of encouragement.
Right.
And I heard that from both the men and the women's side. It was incredible.
That it sounds awesome. I can't imagine being in that atmosphere. Everybody just working toward a common goal, and like you said, just that. I think that's one of the great things about the marathon trials or getting in is, you know, you're not necessarily racing other people. You're racing that clock, which is sometimes lost, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it keeps things in perspective. It just, you can kind of get lost in how you compare to other people, but at the end of the day, you know, you are kind of just racing the clock. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you obviously had those pacers there, you know, to kind of keep your eye on and guiding you. Was there a moment in the race where you like just, you knew you were going to get it, or were you just so focused on just getting to the finish line?
Yeah, and I actually decided to run ahead of the pace group because when I missed it by 8 seconds, I was with the pace group. And that year, there was only one pacer, and unfortunately, he got a cramp, and I kind of lost where he was. So this time, I decided, no, I'm gonna stay ahead of the group. And I had kind of the 6:10 pace in mind, and I just almost hit it pretty much almost every mile. And so I decided, well, once I get to 20, I'll decide whether to stay at that pace or to pick it up. And got to 20 and said, oh, I think I'll hang out here. And then when I hit 24, I said, all right, I've kind of sealed the deal. So I know that anything can still happen
right.
in 2 miles, and so still just focused on putting one foot in front of the other. And it wasn't until till I crossed the line, I really like just said, okay,
yeah.
I can relax and enjoy this now.
And what was that feeling like? I mean, crossing that line and knowing like you made it, you're in the trials, you made your goal for this year.
Yeah, it was incredibly satisfying, but it didn't really sink in for about 5 hours because I really just wanted a nap after that.
I'm sure.
Yeah, so I thought I might be a little more ecstatic, but took a little bit to set in.
Fatigue kind of settled in first.
Yes.
Would you consider this your biggest accomplishment in running so far?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, CMI was just kind of beginning of December, and then the trials are now here in 9 days, I believe. Really wasn't it's a fairly quick, in marathon terms, turnaround from CMI to the trials. So how have you managed to kind of the rest you need from finishing a marathon? Because like you said, I mean, the fatigue even just after finishing, but the rest you need after to and still kind of gearing up and keeping that fitness to go after the trials here in a few days.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was kind of wondering myself how to approach it, and kind of toyed with a lot of different methods, but I kind of landed on just listening to my body and mind and where they were at, and I said I'll give myself 2 weeks just to really just relax, do nothing, and then kind of after 2 weeks, I said my mind still needed a little more rest.
Right.
So I started doing some skiing, went up to Enchanted Forest and up to Los Alamos, and I just got in the forest and skied a bunch and kind of just relaxed. And
yeah.
I'd say probably mid-January is when I really started to get going. But, you know, I have so many years of miles under my belt that I wasn't too worried about losing fitness. I'm a firm believer that you don't lose that foundation. You maybe lose a little sharpness, but the miles, they stack up and they're right. always there for you. So, that hard work has served me well, and, just kind of got back into the rhythm, got back into, on the track and some long runs and, yeah, but I still kind of just really focused on listening to my body and where I was at. So if I needed a day off, I just took it off completely. And yeah, that was kind of my approach.
That sounds smart, definitely listening to your body. And I definitely agree with you. I think years of putting in the work definitely builds that muscle memory and that strength to carry you through.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got just over a week away. What is your goal?
I still haven't decided exactly what it is. I don't like to really decide until about 3 days out.
Okay.
Sometimes even 2 days out, just to see where I'm at, how I'm feeling, kind of how those final workouts. I'll do some 800 meter repeats just to kind of see how the pacing goes. But my goal, I've got some place goals. You know, I'd like to crack the top 100 for sure. And I'd like to improve on my time from CIM, and how much is kind of, we'll see right now. But at the end of the day, I just also really want to soak up the experience and just enjoy where I'm at too.
Oh, that's awesome. Everything that I've read so far, it seems like the experience that they're building there is just going to be really amazing for the athletes and the spectators.
Yeah, definitely.
How soon are you heading out to kind of get used to the weather? And I don't think this time of the year it's supposed to be humid there, but you know, we're definitely a lot drier here than they are in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I've definitely been preparing for that too. I actually just yesterday, all my coworkers were laughing because I came to a meeting like just. I couldn't stop sweating because I had done a run in a bunch of clothes. Just to kind of get, my motto has been be comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Right.
So I've kind of practiced that, but I'm going to go out on Wednesday before the race on Saturday and just kind of, you know, do some tune-up runs there and just kind of relax and so not too far in advance, but enough just to kind of make sure I'm getting my rest and not, you know, early enough that I don't get delayed by a snowstorm or something.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. That's awesome. I like the idea of getting used to the uncomfortable for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely seems like good marathon ideas.
Yeah, it is. And I work with a massage therapist, and we've worked together for about 4 years now. And she's scheduled to have her baby the weekend of the marathon. So we joke together about, you know, we're both going into a marathon.
Yeah.
And we're both, you know, but, and I told her my motto too, and she said, yeah, no, that's perfect for so many life situations, is being uncomfortable, being comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Right. You know, the, like I said, the marathon for the women's side is just has a ton of people, you know, over 500. I think the top 100 is an, I mean, like you said, you don't have your set goal yet, but I think, you know, that would be pretty awesome. But what does it feel like to know you're going to be in a race with all these people? You've got, oh man, women like Sarah Hall, Molly Huddle, Des Linden, you know, like that top 10 is really just amazing. What does it feel like to know that you're going into competition and that's the group that kind of everybody's going after, and you get to kind of race with them? Like,
yeah, no, I think it's a huge honor, and I feel like I belong there, and I like the sense that, you know, we are all competing for the top three spots, and some have a better chance than others, right. But eventually that's kind of the intent of the race, and that's everyone's goal, and for so many amazing runners to converge on one day, having to perform their best on one day, it's pretty special, and it's an honor to be able to be there with them.
Oh, that's really cool. You know, I know you've been working with Daruda Gruka, and she herself is a former Olympic athlete. She has a ton of experience.
Yeah.
How much have you picked her brain, or just kind of used her experiences to get you prepared for this?
A ton, yes. I've listened to everything she says, and sometimes she says, am I being annoying? Because I'm giving you a lot of advice, and I'm like, no, I'm writing down, I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm implementing it. You know, she has so much experience from the marathon to the 10K, and just in, she's raced in the Olympics, so she's been to big races, and she knows how to prepare the body and the mind, and equally puts emphasis on both. And I've just really enjoyed training with her, and she's just extremely positive as well. So she'll lift me up, you know, after any workout, after any event, she sees the positive in it. And I think that's been really beneficial to me. And I think she sees that even in the bigger races, you know.
Right.
To have those micro goals, you have your macro ones, but the micro ones too, that are equally as important.
That's so awesome to have someone that you can count on for support like that. Not only with the experience, but like you said, being so positive when I think as runners we can be extremely hard on ourselves.
Yes, definitely. She'll always pick something out of a workout, you know, even if the workout was a complete flop, she'll find something positive about it. Hey, you know, you got out there and you did it. You made some sort of progress today.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, this part of the workout was really good. Maybe the other part wasn't, but, you know, now we know what to work on.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great approach. It keeps you coming back for more.
Well, that's awesome. How did you find her to begin with?
We actually just kept seeing each other on the Bosque, and we'd wave, and then sometimes we'd run together, or she'd would be on a bike and I'd be running. And yeah, I just took some time coaching myself, and I realized I do not hold myself accountable, and I can find a lot of other hobbies to pick up. So yeah, it was, I reached out to her and asked her if she'd coach me, and it's been great.
Okay.
And you know, I think something I admire about her too is she uplifts all levels of runner. So it doesn't really matter what level you're at. She's supporting the local 5K runner and someone out just training on the Bosque. It's just for fitness. You know, I think it kind of puts what you're doing in perspective too. And going back to the community, it's like, no, we're doing this to create a better community. I think Kipchoge said if everyone ran in the world, it would be a better place. And I kind of think that's her approach too.
Yeah, I think that's a great quote, and it definitely, yeah, I believe that's her approach too. at least from what you're saying and from what I know of her as well. You know, going back to your bio for the trials, one thing your parents meeting at Boulder, and, you know, finding out you'd gone to China for school, it was your favorite book that stuck out to me that you listed there. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Yes, my favorite book is Wastewater Engineering by Metcalf and Eddy. It's a 2,000-page textbook. Whew. That I have read most of.
Wow.
When I used to commute 2 hours one way by a bus to work, I would just sit there reading that. And it's, it kind of reminds me that it's okay to have multiple passions. And my passion in life is water and wastewater treatment engineering. And so I've pursued that as intensely as my running. And I think it keeps me pretty balanced. It's like the yin and yang of my life.
Well, if you're going to list it as your favorite book, then it definitely, it sounds like it's a passion for sure.
It's the engineer's Bible, so.
Oh, man. getting back to the running, I got a few more questions for you. When you're on that starting line, you know, getting ready to go, what's going through your mind?
Before I get going, I guess I get in this hyper zone that I like to call it, is that I just really don't notice anything else, and I just get to myself. I'm not chatty. I don't really like to talk to people, or I just kind of get into this alternate universe almost, it feels like, where it's like, okay, I have this mission and I'm going to stick to that mission. And there may be variables that come into play, but that's, you know, stick to the task at hand and don't let excitement or what other runners are doing kind of change that necessarily. And for the marathon, I just try to stay ultra calm, especially for the first 10Ks.
Right.
I just find a place that's like very calming. I don't think a lot and just relax.
You know, we've talked about your kind of biggest accomplishment, biggest success in qualifying for the trials. What's been your biggest kind of disappointment or heartbreak with running?
Yeah, I think that's easy to name. So when I was at the University of Minnesota, I raced at the pre-national race before nationals in Terre Haute, Indiana, and had the race of my life. There was another runner who had also had a really good season, and the coach decided we were going to have a runoff the next week.
Oh, wow.
And I just had put my heart into the pre-national race because I thought that was going to get me on the national team. And the next week I just was fatigued, probably right, physically and mentally, from putting such an effort out, and
right,
didn't run well, didn't make the national team. And I got to go as an alternate, but it was very bittersweet. And something I'll always remember, it's, you know, nothing's guaranteed, so you do have to show up. If you're gonna toe the line, you gotta show up. So
well, yeah, that definitely sounds disappointing. But I think
good character building.
Right, I was gonna say good motivation, you know, going forward with the rest of your career. what keeps you motivated through all this, continuing on through college, continuing on through, you know, you said you had the calf kind of problems for a little while. What's kept you motivated through all this?
Yeah, it's I've had so many ups and downs. Like I said, you know, my town town being flooded and being the engineer for that, and basically having to stop running for over a year just to work 100-hour weeks and basically just eat, you know, Salvation Army food, and to get through that and to decide. You know, during when my town was flooded, I was running up and down the street just to get rid of energy. And kind of that experience taught me that, and I still wanted to run after that, even though I was in not the greatest shape. And,
right.
But I think through all ups and downs like that in my life, I've decided, it just makes me a more balanced person, and I enjoy competition. I'm very competitive at anything, whatever, board games, or it really doesn't matter what, I get competitive. So, but I also just really like the freedom of running. I just like that it can take you so many places that maybe you don't get on you know, in a car, or you go a little slower than a bike, so you can see some of the fine details. You can see the animals, you can see the plant life. And, yeah, I think it's that freedom that draws me to keep, training and running, but also that competitive side keeps me racing. And I definitely want to be running when I'm 100. So that's my other motivation.
That's awesome. I think that's a great goal. it's definitely cool watching the, like, the seniors when they're out there running, and it's just, if they can do it, why can't I?
Exactly.
What's your favorite workout?
Well, I'd say I really like mile repeats.
Wow.
I think that's, it's just the engineer in me. I like to go on the track, and I just like mile repeats. It's a number that everyone knows. I mean, you know what a good mile is, and and then you also know distance wise, it's
right.
Easy to kind of tally those up. So, I've just enjoyed that workout, and we've done a couple of those leading into the marathon.
I'm sure. My last question is, what's your go-to pump up song?
Oh, that's, it depends.
All right.
Depends on the day, but, I'm known to, download the entire, Isotopes Walk Up, list. So they're, walk up songs, and I tend to, rotate through those as pump up music. So,
wow. But just pretty much anyone, whatever.
Yeah, I usually like Spanish music.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, I thank you for joining me. I think this has been a great conversation, and, you know, good luck here on the 29th. You know, I hope whatever goal you end up setting going into it, I hope you're able to achieve it.
All right, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you and everyone else on the trails.
Thank you for taking the time to join me today. If you can, please rate and review, but most importantly, spread the word so we can grow this community. If you know of any runners that deserve a shout out or should be interviewed, or you just want to share your runs and connect with other people, use the hashtag RunningNM on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow me at RunningNM on both these platforms. If you prefer to reach out by email, you can find me at runningnewmexico@gmail.com. Music was provided by Philip Friedman. You can follow him on SoundCloud under DJ Teach. And until next time, keep running, New Mexico.